a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros lost last night, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the Houston Texans...
I mean, it still matters.
But. It does matter. We'll get to plenty of it today because what a joke the base running was last night. Jesus, Jake Myers. Stay on your feet.
Jose Altuve.
Altuve, the best player of all time to suck at base running. It's incredible.
Josh Hader, 5 years, $90 million. No regrets.
Yeah, no regrets. Blow his last two games. Not great. But what is great, to some people, and I'm one of those people, the Houston Texans have traded a 2025 second-round pick. It was originally owned by the Minnesota Vikings, so presumably will be a good second-round pick for the Buffalo Bills next year. And they have acquired Stephon Diggs, a new shiny toy for C.J. Stroud and this team this year. Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Joe Mixon, C.J. Stroud. That's your offense in 2024.
That is your offense.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
But Paul, negative Paul has arrived at the show today.
I mean, I have questions. This move should excite me more than it does because it is a robbery by Nick Caserio. He saw that the Bills knew Diggs was unhappy and that they wanted to get rid of him and that Diggs wanted out. So, I mean, this is a steal. Not quite the Patriots getting Randy Moss in 07 away from the Raiders for a fourth-round pick, but it's close. And yet, I just think about all the negative baggage associated with Stephon Diggs before I think about what he'd look like in this offense with C.J. Stroud, with D'Amico Ryans, instead of someone like Sean McDermott, who's saying there's no I in Al-Qaeda during pregame speeches. I am not looking at this move and saying all of a sudden the Texans are significantly more of a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. They are definitely better. I think they're going to get a lot out of Stephon Diggs this first season, the most bought-in version of Stephon Diggs possible. But I'm just not as excited about this move, Joe.
I understand. I understand the concerns that you have. I mean, you've got Stephon Diggs tweeting back and forth with people about Josh Allen. He was
literally last night.
Yeah, literally last night. If he was the reason for Josh Allen's success, and he said, I think it was, you'll find out. It's the reaction to this is going to be mostly positive, but I get why there's a negative one. Whiskey here on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, says not a fan of this. Can't stand Diggs. Big Bubba, Texans, good upstanding citizen, players only, reputation gone with a question mark. I would say this is not the Joe Mixon conversation. You know, Joe Mixon had a past, obviously, before he even entered the NFL. Last offseason, there was stuff that was going on with Joe Mixon. Stephon Diggs is more about the personality on the field, in the locker room, and how you feel about it, and how he fits into this culture that they've tried so hard to rectify in the last 12 months.
We don't know Stephon Diggs very well, but on the outside looking in, Stephon Diggs is one of those wide receivers who you would not be surprised if he got angry after a Texans 28-17 win where he gets targeted 9 times and Nico Collins and Tank Dell have 150 yards receiving.
Yeah.
He is that kind of a guy to me right now. And I'm not going to go so far as to compare him to Antonio Brown, who's claiming that he broke the news first. We've seen Antonio Brown in the past throw temper tantrums on the sidelines in games where he was targeted, I think, 15 times because other guys were getting more numbers over the course of it. I don't think he's quite that far gone, but there's no denying that he is a mercurial player. And how long the honeymoon phase lasts here in Houston is my big question. You would assume that it's going to be a lot of fun right away, like most honeymoons supposedly are. But what happens after that? How long does it last?
That's the question, is how long does it last? The best comp for me, now, this guy is one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, so he's not on that level. It reminds me most of, think back to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, now, he was only on his second team when he was 31 years old, and he was traded from the San Francisco 49ers to the Philadelphia Eagles. But that T.O. that you got the first year as a 1,200-yard receiver for the Eagles, 14 touchdowns. That's the guy that broke his leg and played in the Super Bowl miraculously. Now, eventually, he became the T.O. that we knew later on, which was more of the bad stuff got even worse. The sit-ups in front of his house, the weird, that's my quarterback crying. Like, T.O. is the quintessential drama wide receiver, and Stephon Diggs is probably the closest guy we have in the NFL to that.
I think the biggest difference with T.O., I think would even tell you that mentally he was having some issues and always had. I know there's a football life and it talks about his upbringing. So there's some added baggage with T.O. I don't know that Diggs is there, but I do see with Diggs a guy that is not exactly the kind of player that you'd be thinking of first when it comes to team players.
Yeah.
He's not. This could change. Different head coach in D'Amico Ryans. Different quarterback. Those dynamics should make the Texas fans who are excited remain excited. And I should be more excited about this because this was a hell of a move by Nick Caserio to put the cherry on top of an offseason that has been very active. But, you know, I was saying it all offseason. I don't think that another wide receiver is truly necessary for the Texans being better. I know that per what we heard from D'Amico Ryans, from Nick Caserio at the beginning of the offseason, some of the things that they said they were looking for in the offseason, to them, that is a priority. To me, I don't know that it should be the priority when you still don't have a second corner, you don't have a safety, and I don't know any of the defensive tackles off the top of my head. Yeah. I don't know who your starting defensive tackles are at this moment in time.
Yeah, that's the Foley, Fatukasi.
You got it.
From Jacksonville.
Hell yeah.
I know that one just because I don't know his name. That's pretty much, to your point, the only real reason why I remember him so confidently. Yeah, cornerback and wide and safety is still, it is your fatal flaw when you look at this team. If the Texans, the expectations that they have, what they're hoping to accomplish in 2024 and beyond with Stephon Diggs and this team now going forward, your biggest problem is that you're still potentially going to get gashed on a weekly basis with the quarterbacks that you're playing. I do lean more positive in this move. That the reason why is what we've seen in the history of these diva wide receivers in the NFL, to me, is that they often, it goes well at the beginning. For when they get to a new environment, it's positive, it's sunshine and rainbows. If they don't have as many targets, they're typically okay with that. And then it's as things progress that they become more challenging. My immediately red flag that I see is, okay, what happens to the wide receiver room when Diggs or Nico Collins gets paid and the other one doesn't? You know, Stephon Diggs is going to want a contract. Keenan Allen's out here talking about how he asked for $25 million from the Los Angeles Chargers, and that's why they traded him. So Diggs is probably going to want to rework his contract, extend it, but that's going to conflict with Nico. So if the Texans pay Nico instead of paying Diggs, that's immediately where I am worried, like you are, that things could fall apart quickly.
Right. And, I mean, something to consider with Stephon Diggs and the contract side of things, which we are making some assumptions about, but, I mean, the Bills got rid of this guy, and they're taking a $30 million dead cap hit, and they're totally fine with moving on from him for, you know, basically a second-round pick, giving up some draft picks to do it. It's a, hopefully, for the Bills' sake, if the Vikings aren't very good this year, it's an early second-round pick. But, I mean, Stephon Diggs, this was the first year of his new contract. Like, he just signed an extension. Do you think he's going to ask for another deal already? I mean, I'm assuming that this is why they freed up the cap space. They're thinking to themselves, okay, we're just going to pay him what he's making the next 3 years. $18 million at age 32, at age 31 this coming season, $18.5 million. Next year, $18. The year after that at 33, 19. The year after that, 14.5. So 31 through 34, Stephon Diggs, a guy whose production in the second half of last year was not that he is making, not worth what he is making. You have this guy for the next couple of years. I don't think he's going to be looking for an extension again. He would be the most delusional wide receiver, I think, in the history of the league if after a second half of the year where he had limited production and the Bills went 6-1, if he thinks that he is going to get a new deal out of that.
Yeah, I understand that. It's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. There's so many questions. And we'll take your guys' reaction all show long, 713-780-3776 on the text line, the HRMP listener line, twitch.tv/ESPN975, and on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel as well. It's going to be mixed responses. My guess is that largely people will be more positive about this, but I hear you. I hear you, Paul.
I'm just not excited about it. It's not that it's not a good move. It is a good move. It might work out. It probably will work out in the first year, but does this make the Texans more of a Super Bowl contender than they already were? I think it is a very small step forward.
Interesting.
Does offense win championships?
Typically in the playoffs, you do see the defenses do matter a lot more than they do. I mean, look at the Kansas City Chiefs, right? You have Patrick Mahomes, but what won them the Super
Defense
Bowl
Defense won
year?
The Super Bowl this past
Defense.
Year.
Defense. You think back to probably, 50% of the Brady Super Bowls, I would say, were won by defense.
Every single Brady Super Bowl victory with the Patriots, they had a good defense. Yeah. They had at least one player on that defense that was a difference maker, whether it was Stephon Gilmore, Darrelle Revis, or the defenses that they had the first 3 years of it.
To your point about that, I think the Texans have at least three of those guys, if not four. The Texans, while they're weak at half the field at corner and their safety position definitely does leave some to be desired, I would like to see them still add Quandre Diggs to this team. I do think the Texans have an elite defensive core of players. You have Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley Jr., and Christian Harris, to me, is in that category of where next season I expect them to be one of the best linebackers in the NFL. So I view the Texans' defense as having enough to get to a Super Bowl this year. I think adding Stephon Diggs, what it adds to the value of this offense, just there's so much talent. Joe Mixon last year was ninth in the NFL in empty boxes. So because the teams were spreading out so much against the Bengals, he's going to have that again. Joe Mixon, to me, might benefit the most from this, honestly, even more than C.J. Stroud, that you're not going to crowd the box against the Houston Texans ever because he'll just run all over you if you do that.
True, but you also now are looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, we are going to outscore teams that are quarterbacked by, maybe Josh Allen, a little bit easier to do so, though, but Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, he's got some weapons to throw to. You like Trevor Lawrence to a degree, and on top of that, you're saying you're outscoring the Chiefs, and you're outscoring the Jets with healthy Aaron Rodgers. You're outscoring a lot of quarterbacks that you're going up against this coming season. I think, yeah, there are some good defensive players on this team, but there are still enough holes, and I feel like they are going overkill at the wide receiver position. I think they were good enough, and you could have made investments in the roster in other positions. And now you are bringing in a wide receiver who did not finish the season very well, who was a me guy, and you are assuming that it is all going to work out here. And guess what? It might. You got C.J. Stroud. I don't think C.J. Stroud's going to put up with this BS. But I also feel like Josh Allen probably had a difficult time dealing with the BS, and that's a guy who was a top five quarterback. D'Amico Ryans versus Sean McDermott. Okay, D'Amico Ryans, I think that's the clear edge.
You don't think D'Amico's giving Al-Qaeda speeches?
No, I don't. I don't. But I do.
Same.
I do think that you're looking at the skill positions and you're assuming that that is going to make things so devastating for other teams that the weaknesses that you have, which you still have some, you can overlook. And I know there's a draft still to happen and the final roster is not here, but I have questions about this move and I'm not as excited as a lot of other people are.
All right, what is your reaction? 713-780-3776, the text line, the HRMP listener line, twitch.tv/ESPN975 and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Did you know that if you were in Louisiana this morning and you were at the LaBerge Lake Charles and you could download the ESPN Bet app through Penn Entertainment, you could still get the Texans at +110 to win the AFC South after they traded for Stephon Diggs? After they traded. I bet you that line has changed now. The Texans are probably no longer plus money to win the AFC South in 2024. But the LaBerge Lake Charles is a great place to go bet on your teams. Whether it's the Texans, the Astros, the Rockets, you can go to LaBerge Lake Charles. Sean, Brian, and I, 92 more wins, baby! And we're on our way to our over-under that we placed at LaBerge Lake Charles. When you head to LaBerge, make sure you download the Penn Play app And when you do, you can win up to $2,000 in Penn Play Cash. When you leave Texas and you want to bet on your Texas teams, make sure you go to LaBerge Lake Charles.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
How do you feel about the Stephon Diggs? He is now a Houston Texan. They have a, on paper, an elite amount of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And when you look at, you know, we got a text here about the corners and safety position that we keep bringing up, 0108. Y'all keep saying corner and safety, but did Petrie and Stingley die? Well, Petrie wasn't good last year. Jamie Ward's barely ever on the field. And Stingley is absolutely incredible, but he's only one corner. Yes, they have three corners on their team that were drafted in the top 10. Only one of them is good. So they still have a major, major issue at cornerback. And I would assume that when you look at the draft going forward, if that's your thing, I would expect a defense draft in 2024.
Yeah, you'd think so. I'm looking at a spot on the offense that you need to address, and that is the bright side out of this heist of a move by Nick Caserio, which deserves the most credit today. You're bringing in a guy who has been, in the not-too-distant past, a top-five wide receiver for basically nothing. You strong-armed the Bills, essentially, into doing this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what was Buffalo going to do? It seems like they're sick of him. They're willing to take a $30 million cap hit, but that also is where the problem lies, is that the Bills are so sick of him that they are taking nothing for him and still killing their cap space in doing so.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Buffalo Bills, they're on your schedule next year, and they lost 1,900 yards in receiving yards this offseason between Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and replaced it with Curtis Samuel.
I saw someone, yeah, list out the Bills wide receivers after this move, and Curtis Samuel was the first name on the list. I was like, oof. That's like the opposite of what the Texans have going with Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell.
Yeah. Well, don't forget about Khalif Raymond. He had that sick play against the Steelers
forgot
in the playoffs.
About Khalif.
Right?
Can't forget about Khalif Raymond.
It's a Tuesday night football.
Yeah, I think the – well, A, you have to remember that the Texans got the Vikings second-round pick for next year by trading the 23rd pick. So they still have the other second-round pick that they got from that trade.
Yeah.
So they really did turn the 23 pick into Stephon Diggs and more draft picks because they still have this year's second from the Vikings and the fifth and sixth that the Bills threw into this Stephon Diggs trade out of the goodness of their hearts. So while it is in present tense an absolute heist, it is like actually pretty crazy that this trade got made because of the talent that Stephon Diggs is right now. There is a chance that you are looking at the Buffalo Bills and you're looking at yourself in 3 years if this does not go well.
Oh, without a doubt. And honestly, the team that this you're going to be much better than they were when you traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals for a second-round pick 4 years ago.
Hey, David Johnson, too.
And David Johnson.
They needed a running back.
What's funny is if the Buffalo Bills, I imagine their fans feel how we all felt then. That
I don't know. I think some of them are relieved.
I'm sure some of them are.
I think that, yeah, I think there's some like, great, now that we have one guy who won't yell at our quarterback every 6 weeks.
My Bills fan friend, who is a bit of a football casual, not a surprise, Diggs' drama moving south. He was pretty much absent in our end of the year winning streak. Got to get lucky in the draft now. But they did win six games in a row down the stretch. And Diggs, take a look at his production, not much of a factor there.
Yeah,
in fact, he had that big drop against Kansas City that a lot of people seem to have conveniently forgotten today.
But it's 100%.
I will say, though, that yes, the last six games, he wasn't good. He was, like, incredible basically before they fired their offensive coordinator, he was part of the game plan. He was putting up numbers. And afterwards, he was no longer in the game plan.
Okay, so I have a theory on that. This is not an anti-Diggs take. It's a Josh Allen problem. There are certain quarterbacks in the NFL that when you give them a pure elite number one wide receiver, they're often worse with that wide receiver because they're forcing the ball to that player way too much. Where to this point is that the Bills, when Ken Dorsey took over as the OC, they started to run the ball more. Josh Allen started to spread the ball out. Diggs' production went down, but the Bills' offense went up. So it's more Josh Allen was focusing too much on Diggs and not playing point guard.
Maybe, but what I look at it is he wanted out after they won six of their last seven games. And, I mean, we were told by Josh Allen that they hugged it out going into last season because there were issues the offseason before. If a man is unhappy when he has had guys like Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen, the best version of Case Keenum, among others, throwing his way, when is he ever going to be happy? Especially on a team that has two wide receivers who I think were about as good 1-2 as it gets in the league. And in bringing in Diggs, who has this ridiculous contract on the books, you have a more difficult time now keeping Nico Collins around. You wonder about how Tank Dell, his health holds up still. But okay, you have more depth at the wide receiver position, and you did what the Texans said that they were going to do. But I just look at Stephon Diggs and somebody who is constantly unhappy despite being in good situations. I have zero sympathy for that person. In fact, that person annoys me.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? Maybe he's going to be really happy here because he's reunited with Case Keenum.
Yeah, there we go.
He's Case Keenum and Stephon Diggs back together.
Like you said, this news broke like literally right as Dell show started. So I have kind of just like talked it out on air so much. But there is something to be said that like he wasn't unhappy the first 2 years he was in Buffalo and they're America's sweetheart as a football team. And when you're a 30-year-old wide receiver, how much more are you expecting from your when you trade for a 30-year-old wide receiver then? The first 2 years being good, and the third year's probably going to be rough, not just because of personality, but probably because of performance, too. It's also going to tail off. So this is like a short-term deal. Like he was in Buffalo for 4 years. He was unhappy for two of them. Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll be happy if the Houston Texans can do what the Buffalo Bills could not, which is just simply beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Look, this is perhaps going to be a somewhat insensitive remark, but you just purchased a high-maintenance girlfriend. You know?
Yes.
This is mail-order bride, but the kind of mail-order bride that still might leave.
Okay.
And might want out literally after a year. All of a sudden sneaks away. Like, this is what you're bringing in.
Yeah.
I'm just saying right now, there's going to be a great honeymoon phase, you would assume, because this is a guy who you would think was going to see C.J. Stroud. He's going to see D'Amico Ryans, and he's going to think to himself, holy crap, this is great. But how long does that last? Because it's just historically proven with this guy that there's a shelf life for every single relationship that he's had with his teammates in an NFL locker room.
713-780-3776, the text line, the HRMP listener line. We'll go out there now to Pena. Pena, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So my initial reaction was, heck yeah, let's go. Not the right word, but you get what I'm saying. But then I started thinking. I was like, man, this guy is a drama queen. Hopefully, he doesn't bring it down here. But as a defensive guy, I really wanted us to focus on a cornerback. Nico was good. Tank was good. We have Schultz. We got Mixon. Do we really need Stephon? I mean, no. But it's a nice to have. So I don't know. I'm 1 foot in, 1 foot out on this. Hopefully it works out for the best, and hopefully we're drama-free. That's about it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Payne. Yeah, it's
a luxury.
It's a big-time luxury. That's 100% a fact.
And luxuries can help you win. If you go back to 07 when the Patriots brought in Randy Moss at an extreme discount for a fourth-round pick, I mean, we saw what happened with that offense this year. Mm-hmm. That year. I mean, they were...
the best offense of all time.
They were 18-0, and then they lost.
So Texans, 18... Just kidding.
Would you sign up for 18-1 right now?
That is actually a great question. I mean, you would be going further than the Texans have ever been before.
By far the most successful Texans.
But it is... There's nothing more painful than losing that last game after going 18-0. There's legitimately nothing more. You will remember it. It'll be stuck in your mind for the rest of your life. Even if your team wins three more Super Bowls, you will still think about that one more than any of the other ones. But look, their offense is a lot better. But to Pena's point, if you're going to trade for a receiver who you're spending a ton of money on, couldn't you have done this with a corner? I'm not the biggest Xavier Howard fan out there, but wouldn't it make more sense to pay someone like Xavier Howard if you free up that kind of space?
Sure.
As compared to a wide receiver when you have the depth? And yeah, look, I'm trying not to make you unexcited about it, everyone listening. If you're excited, remain excited. I'm not telling you how to feel. This is just how I feel. I saw this move happen. I was like, eh. And then I just started thinking about all the times I've talked about Stephon Diggs this offseason and said, yeah, I don't want him here.
Yeah. And that's everyone has the right to feel the way they want. 1642, Paul, would you say this is Cooks 2.0?
Brandon Cooks?
Yeah. I mean,
no, he's way better than Cooks has ever been.
Man, Cooks had a 1,000-yard year his first year, and he was happy until Beasterby got fired.
Yeah, I was going to say.
To be honest.
I was going to say, Cooks was also walking into a very different situation than what Stephon Diggs is going to be walking into.
Yeah, so I would say no to that.
It's a short and long-term deal. This text from the 409 is interesting. Love the Diggs trade. The overreaction to his attitude probably will be all washed away if they go to an AFC championship game. And you're right, but what happens the next year?
That's where, to your point, I don't think you're talking much about this year. I think the way you...
Yeah, exactly. This year will be fun. There's no denying it. This year is going to be fun. And I think he will buy in for a time.
Yeah.
That it's he's moving to a new quarterback and a new head coach.
Better city.
Way better city. Way, 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 way better city.
He does have tweets complaining about the heat that people have found.
I mean, I don't know if you saw... Tough. If you saw that video of Minnesota Vikings teammates talking about how Stephon Diggs is like the last person they'd want to date their sister. Stephon Diggs, I can tell you right now, Stephon, you're going to have a wonderful time here in Houston, land of the beautiful women.
I might have to find that video.
I think you should by the end of the show.
That video by the end of the show.
One thing to keep in mind, so there is an out in Stephon Diggs' contract after this season in which you'd have zero dead cap. So if things do go awry, and things go wrong, you don't have any dead cap attached to this. There's a potential out going into 2025. After that, it would be a three-year, $67 million contract is what it is. So if things happen to go the worst possible way ever, and it was an issue with him not getting the ball enough.
What if they go well and you want out?
Well, I mean, you always could do that too. I would hate – I don't like giving up the draft pick, a second-round pick for a one-year rental, but –
Why did Stephon Diggs sign that contract?
I wonder if this has to do with the trade. If that's it becomes
maybe
with the trade stuff. You know, since Buffalo
has a new
deal,
right?
It is a good deal. I mean, Buffalo has what $30 million in dead cap space. So that's where the contract stuff within the NFL.
Yeah, that's always tricky with trades when they happen. How it affects it.
Yeah, you need to wait like 2.5 hours until
Someone clarifies
until Texans cap figures
it out. Texans cap figure this out.
Texans cap is a legit. Amazing resource.
Troy's so good. I have no idea how he does this.
I don't either. And it's not his full-time job, which makes it even blows my mind even more.
That's the craziest part is that he's like, I assume he has a life and a job and a family, and then he's just like 24/7 on call for whatever the Texans restructure Titus Howard's deal.
Yeah, maybe he won the lottery once upon a time or something. I guess we're playing the Powerball, guys. It's up to $1 billion now. What are we doing with $1 billion?
I bought
split it three
new
ways.
Signal.
No, I'm not. You will never hear from me again.
Oh, you're one of those?
I will leave.
We talk about sports. I would never stop working. I couldn't stop.
I feel like I would go until the second it becomes inconvenient. And
yeah, once
like,
the Astros really fall off a cliff and like we have to talk about the Astros for the whole summer, that's tough.
Saturday show probably over.
That's fair. Good to know. All right, how do you feel about the Stephon Diggs? So much to get into too as well. 713-780-3776. I feel very different about this trade than Paul. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Third time is the charm. Let's go win the big one. From Case Keenum's Twitter account. Because this is the third time they've been teammates.
I forgot.
I forgot he was in Buffalo.
Yeah, he was a backup. He was Josh Allen's backup in Buffalo.
That's something else.
So Case Keenum and Stephon Diggs. Hopefully they connect for zero passes this season.
Is Case Keenum the common link to Stephon Diggs' constant unhappiness?
I mean, Case Keenum at probably their best run in Minnesota together. I think Case
they have
Keenum,
an iconic play together.
Yeah.
The Hail Mary
tied
pass.
Together in history.
They are. It's the probably greatest play in Vikings history.
It's got to be up at the top.
It's up there in Minnesota sports history.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on in Minnesota.
The Timberwolves out, and that's then Kirby Puckett, and nothing else.
We'll get to the Timberwolves a little bit later. But thankfully, the Texans traded for Stephon Diggs, so we don't have to talk about the Astros losing again right away and the Rockets' playing hopes dying in front of us last night on television. 2-0-1-0. Houston is going to have to put up at least 30 a game to beat teams like the Chiefs and Ravens. Strong disagree. I really, while there is a weakness at corner and safety, I think we all very much clearly agree on that. I do not think that the defense is going to be giving up 28 a game, so you have to score 30. That seems a stretch when they shut down Baltimore in the playoffs last year for a half.
Baltimore's different, but I still think Baltimore can slow you down with the pass rush that they have.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it. You got better wide receivers. You're assuming these guys are going to be open more quick. The Chiefs defense, obviously, they traded L'Jarius Sneed, so they are definitely, I think, a little bit weaker on the defensive side of things. That was their strength last year. I mean, I can see why some people are saying all of a sudden this puts the Texans close to the top of the AFC. It does feel like all of the teams that they're contending with outside of Cincinnati have taken, in some ways, a step or two back. Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore, we will see, just because it feels like that AFC championship game was a step back for Lamar Jackson.
Big time. Yeah, that's where I look at the Texans' schedule and what's happening in the AFC. The Texans' trajectory is just, it's so much different than everyone else. Buffalo is going down, down, down. The Jets are probably the only other team in the AFC, I would say, that is their trajectory is headed up very good for a short amount of time.
But it's entirely because of Aaron Rodgers, and I still think Robert Saleh is not a very good football coach. And
yeah.
I also think there's a lot of stuff going on in that locker room that I don't think is going to get fixed until they do a purge when it comes to the front office with Joe Douglas, and on top of that with Saleh. And then, you know, that's also going to mean the end of the Rodgers era, I would assume, too.
Yeah. 3-3-7-6, I think this move is going to help rejuvenate Diggs' play and career. D'Amico, Stroud, and Anderson are the alphas of this team and won't put up with his childish behavior. We got some other texts about this as well, similar vein. I do agree that it's not that Josh Allen's not a good leader. I think he very clearly is. I mean, he is beloved in that locker room, and just his relationship with Diggs seemed to sour.
He doesn't seem like someone who would get in a confrontation, though. And look, if we're going to base C.J. Stroud being a confrontational person off of anything, how about that moment against the Denver Broncos last year where that linebacker got in his face and he got back in his face? Stroud, when he's at the podium, talks about God a lot, seems like a very calm, relaxed, thoughtful person, but on the football field, he is one of those guys that, at least based off of this past season, that I feel like is actually going to tell Stephon to shut the bleep up.
Yeah, it's his show. That's where the Brady Moss thing is. I like that comp a little bit here, and that fact, too, is that that was always so clearly Tom Brady's team. Randy Moss in Minnesota, and then it was terrible in Oakland, but it was still, he was still Randy. It's Randy Moss's show wherever he goes. He is the star, the attraction. He goes to New England, and it's very much, it's Tom's world and Belichick's world, and he's now just has to find a way to fit into it.
But he also had a reason to buy in because it was good.
Yeah, and that's what Diggs should do here. It should be incredible. I am one of those people. I overreact to things. I'm aware. I don't care. The Texans and ESPN 97.5 are going to be in New Orleans next year.
Wow.
I think the Texans, that's how good they are. Everyone in the AFC
Why
is
are they
going to
be in New Orleans? Are they going to be
Because that's
doing
where the Super Bowl is.
Okay. Are they going to be there for the Super Bowl? Or are they going to be promoting?
They're going to be there for the Super Bowl. They're not going to be there promoting whatever HEB
C4
product.
C4 energy drink?
Yeah, whatever garbage nonsense. Well, we'll be dealing with that stuff and people trying to pitch it to us. And we'll be making the listeners suffer through that. But the Texans, I really do believe that they now have a team that can go to the Super Bowl next year. That with what you're seeing in the AFC, you have the Kansas City Chiefs, They are going on a downward trajectory in a lot of ways. Your number one wide receiver is literally running away from car accidents. Your tight end is old, and until the playoffs, looked pretty washed. You got rid of Legarius Sneed, so you got rid of one of your best players on your team. The Bills are blowing it up. The Ravens, they're the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's going to choke in the playoffs. Like, it's just, it's a fact. We all know it. You've been there, done that. The Cleveland Browns won 11 games last year. Vegas is telling you that with Deshaun Watson, they're an 8.5, they're an 8-9 win team with their total. But I look at this team and what they have on offense, adding Stephon Diggs to it, and say with C.J. Stroud as their quarterback, and then now adding in these weapons and what they're doing, even with the weakness at corner and safety, but with the ability to draft that Nick Caserio has shown and bring in guys that can impact this team right away in a very positive way, that the Houston Texans are a legit, real Super Bowl contender in 2024. And if they don't make it, if they don't win at least two playoff games this year, this season's a total, utter disappointment.
Okay.
Straight up.
Failure?
I wouldn't say failure because I don't like that word, because it is going to be year two of C.J. Stroud, but I will be disappointed if they don't win two playoff games this year at a bare minimum.
I want you to say a little more with your chest. I want you to say that the Texans are going to make the Super Bowl.
The Texans are going to go to the Super Bowl in 2024.
No, you got to look at that game.
The Texans are going to go to the Super Bowl in 2024.
No, say it a little more gusto. Okay. Hit me, baby.
Let me get some coffee right here.
He's drinking an iced coffee.
I'm going to take my glasses off.
He's taking his glasses off dramatically. I like that.
The Houston Texans are going to the Super Bowl in 2024, and C.J. Stroud is going to be the MVP of the NFL.
Wait, hang on.
What else do I need?
The Super Bowl's in 2025 in New Orleans.
All right, well, take three. The Houston Texans are going to the Super Bowl in the 2024-2025 season. C.J. Stroud is going to win the MVP.
Ow!
Wait! More breaking news.
No breaking news. The Texans have released Stephon Diggs.
Cry.
The first 45 minutes of the show were pointless. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, I really do believe that. They're going to be this good. The Texans could have gone to a Super Bowl, or at least deep into the playoffs, without Stephon Diggs. And then now you add this in. You have so much talent on offense that I would be really shocked if they're not incredible this year.
Okay. What's so incredible? How many 12 wins?
12 wins.
12 wins, okay.
Yeah, 12 wins.
Are they beating the Chiefs in the regular season?
Doesn't matter. They're beating them in the playoffs.
Exactly.
There you go, Joe.
I'll say yes to the regular season.
Coin flip. Who cares? They're only playing them to feel them out for the AFC title game.
The only way the Texans don't win the Super Bowl this year is if C.J. Stroud like pops his Achilles when they play
don't
the Jets.
Don't say that.
Whoa. Don't I was going to say if the refs rig it against Houston.
Have we seen the colors of the Super Bowl logo yet for next year to see if the...
we don't really know the Texans' colors.
That's true. We don't really know.
It could be five different shades of blue, and we don't know if the Texans fall under it.
Well, that's the whole point. See, if you have enough blue and enough red, you're probably going to be in the Super Bowl logo.
No, and yeah, to make me go super negative here now, we'll go to the text line.
Hey.
9953, finished the statement that 2024 Texans didn't win the AFC South because blank. CJ gets hurt.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson is also elite.
It does feel like now any issues for the Texans this coming season would be in-house as opposed to teams that are just better than them.
Yeah. Will Levis figures it all out. Ha. Will Levis and Calvin Ridley turn into the next Jerry Rice and Joe Montana?
Legarius Sneed locks down all three of the Houston Texans' top three wide receivers at the same time.
Yeah, there's going to be three Legarius Sneeds on the field.
He can move around the field like Nightcrawler and just deflect passes.
Yeah, I love the deal. I really do.
The deal is great. I agree with you there. The deal is a steal. They rob the Bills on this front. There are questions that it sets up down the road, but you don't have to answer those questions right now.
No, you do not.
I am just skeptical of Stephon Diggs, the teammate, and how long he will remain bought in. Because I just feel like he is one of those guys that, like myself, sometimes finds the negative in the positive, when it doesn't need to be found. That's what I'm doing right here. I think we got a lot in common. Other than it seems like I think that, would you guys trust me with your sister? I mean, because that's the question that a lot of people were saying about Stephon Diggs in Bill's locker room.
I have it ready, by the way. Do you want to do it now? It's a little long, so it's like a minute long.
Let's hear the Vikings teammates of Stephon Diggs being asked about if they'd let Stephon Diggs date their sister.
And then at the end, Stephon Diggs will respond.
Dalvin, what guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
What the hell? Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
Diggs is the guy.
At least I should date my sister, Diggs. 100%.
Why Diggs?
Man, no.
He's crazy.
He's not a guy that you want to bring home to your parents.
He talks a lot.
Outrageous. Don't know what he's going to say.
And I don't like him. We're going to leave it like that.
No.
Just don't know what to expect every day.
It's like, you don't want your sister to bring him home to your parents, so therefore she can't date him.
He couldn't date my sister.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister? And I might add, you're starting to be the runaway favorite for this.
Would nobody want me to date his sister? I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
There's actually seems to be a few guys that don't think that.
You feel differently about me?
Yeah.
They just don't know me well enough. That's what it is. It's the appearance. All right, who don't I want to date my sister? Weatherly.
Why Weatherly?
Because he's ugly.
That's funny.
I think we'll get some good quotes.
It's going to be entertaining season, to say the least.
And I want to say, like, I'm willing to give Diggs another chance as far as buying into a locker room. And I do think the odds are definitely in the Texans' favor in terms of getting him to be a part of a team for the first time. But you can't deny that the track record is the track record. And if the track record exists as you get up there in age where, I mean, is this going to be his 10th season in the NFL? Which is pretty crazy to think of. Is he going to change who he is? People don't generally change. We try to change, but it's very hard. And if this is a guy who is easily frustrated, wide receivers tend to get frustrated. It is a thankless position at times. You're doing all that work to try and get open, and sometimes the ball doesn't come your way when you are open. Is this going to be different here? That's my biggest question about Diggs, the player. But great trade by Nick Azaria.
I thoroughly expect both of us to be right. I think we will look back on today, and we both will be right, that the Texans will be very, very, very good with Stephon Diggs. And one day it will probably blow up in their face just a tiny little bit. And he will not finish his contract with this team. I think both things are going to be true.
Yes. That's where I feel like the disconnect is. Like, I think you guys feel very similarly. It's just focusing on different things where Joe is already handing them the Lombardi Trophy.
Hell yeah.
Handing it to Cal McNair first, of course, because he's the one who made it all first. He made it all happen. And then Paul is more thinking about, like, the end of the 2025 season. Like, in January 2026, when Stephon Diggs is sitting by himself on the sideline because he has three targets for 19 yards in a AFC title game. And that's where Paul's mind is going to the end, where Joe's ready for the ride.
I'm ready for the ride. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get more reaction here to Stephon Diggs news. And then when we get the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk about the woes of the Houston Astros base running here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We just got tagged in this tweet, thanks to Matt. According to Doug Clawson, he is a researcher for CBS, the Texans are the first team in NFL history to acquire players coming off seasons of 1,000-yard receiving, 1,000 yards rushing, and 10 sacks in one offseason by getting Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon, and Danielle Hunter.
Very specific.
Wow. That's
dag.
When you really put it that way. I mean, they did that. I give Nick Caserio a lot of credit, even if this, some of this stuff blows up in his face a little bit. He put all his chips in the middle and said, we're going for it. That I very much.
They're on the table. The fire's cooking. But I think that the fire's probably done for the rest of the offseason.
Robert Woods probably will get cut now, I would imagine, opening up another $5 to $6 million in cap space. And to what we discussed, I would hope that they add at least a corner or a wider or a safety before the draft.
Yes.
But doubtful. I think this is probably the last major Texans news. I don't know. They keep surprising us, so maybe not. But like, I would imagine this is the last major Texans news until the draft, which, I mean, knowing Nick Caserio, he could trade back into the first round.
This is the splashiest offseason I think we'll ever see.
Ever.
For the Houston Texans.
For
Texans. Yeah, you got Danielle Hunter, you got Stephon Diggs, you brought in Danico Autry, who people are forgetting. The guy had, 11 sacks last year? You brought in a ton of different players. And if you are somebody that's been dying for the Texans to have an offseason like this, you finally got your wish. And hopefully this is going to be the March winner that also wins in February of the next year.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine this will be the most active offseason we'll see in Houston sports history. Just the amount of pieces they've added. Because even the Rockets this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Make a trade. They're not going to completely retool their entire roster.
Especially now that like the Texans have done. Probably done.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rockets would have to do like a Brooklyn Nets when they signed Kyrie and KD. Like that's like the equivalent. It's like
this is
an NBA offseason of where you get like two guys, or you already have one guy and you get like Kevin Durant or something like that.
Yeah. This is Miami Heat with LeBron, Chris Bosh, and D Wade resigning. This is Brooklyn.
Not five, not six, not seven.
I didn't say that. I just said one.
Well, that's also not five, six, or seven.
That's true. I'm only saying one. I'm not going to add more to that list. But yeah, this is going to be the most – this offseason will never be matched. I mean, not in a good way, I would
right.
imagine.
I mean, we've seen it matched in a bad way with the Andre Hopkins trade.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, a teardown could happen, and that could match it.
Yeah, like you could see, I don't know, a teardown in December happen. I doubt it, but
I'm looking more at the deal, and more details are coming out with the Stephon Diggs deal. So this isn't something they're necessarily locked into for the 3 years after this coming season. You mentioned the potential out. It's not just that. I guess they have a team option each of the next three seasons after this coming year.
Who is Stephon Diggs' agent?
His agent sucks.
Right. And he's going to be getting, as far as salary goes, like the 15th most in the NFL, which, okay. I mean, he still has the potential to be top 15, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe he does want a new contract.
Yeah, I would want a new contract. What the hell?
It's a good point.
Are you kidding me?
It's a good point. I mean,
I get why he was upset.
But you have to. He has to have a ridiculous season, I think, to force that kind of a conversation. Because I think if you're the Texans, you still got to look at it from the perspective of, okay, well, we might get an incredible year with Diggs, but what do we do with Nico Collins? We're just going to let him walk?
Yeah.
And we're going to stick with the guy who's the most mercurial receiver in the NFL in 2024 and hope that it just is always happy from here on out?
Trevon Diggs. Cousin? Brother?
Brother.
Brother. Tweets, three number ones is crazy.
And then a, like, smirk.
I don't know what
emoji.
That emoji is, so I was just going to pass on
it. I read it on air at for Dell's show, so I spent most of the time trying to describe the emoji.
Yeah.
How about Quandre Diggs?
No relation.
But safety that I want the Houston Texans
yes,
to sign.
But not related to the two previously
correct.
Mentioned
Diggs. Two men with the last name Diggs that are not related. Texans gun be hella nice! !!
See, maybe you'll still get your way, Paul.
I will feel so great if they get Quandre Diggs.
Will you?
I would be more excited.
Will
about
you join me?
I was about to say that, and that's the most Paul thing in the world.
I love it. Though.
Sorry, I like a specific kind of safety.
Will you
Some
join
of us appreciate
me?
Great safety play.
Will you join me in the Super Bowl car, the Super Bowl train, if they sign Quandre Diggs?
No.
Okay. I was going
to
see that.
I am never going to predict this team to win a Super Bowl unless I see them win a Super Bowl.
That's
and then
fair.
After that, I will predict a Super Bowl every year from there on out. Well, that's where I was with the Astros, too. You haven't fully got me, but you're damn close if you're the Texans.
Oh, speaking of the Astros, not a great night last night.
I thought we were going to talk about them.
Framber Valdez was incredible, but what a disaster starting in the eighth inning. Some people would say, as soon as Framber came out, things started to go wrong. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.